Lesson 333, and we're going to read it in a minute. It's I'll give you the title. It's excuse me, forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here, and we are right now in the section where we read the theme of the next 10 days, which is. What this time it is, what is the ego? And it is, I'm so grateful for this mind training that allows us to, or actually instructs us to read this this section every day. So in order to gain a deeper understanding of what the ego is, or what the what the ego is, and what we are in truth. It is striking to me that, and I just have to bring this up. It's striking to me that within the Course community is there's such an assumption that, you know, we're talking about the ego, my ego. That everybody knows what the ego is, and then starts to devise all sorts of ways and methods to deal with it. Whereas the Course in Miracles, is so clear in itself. If you would just take the words and read what it says. Then even by just practicing the words, reading the words over and over again, this is where you gain the understanding. This is where the transformation actually occurs by itself. You don't need any other sort of meditative practice or methods. You can just read the text or and this is what we will do today also. We will look. We'll read a little bit from the dynamics of the ego, and you will begin to discover more and more, as we have always been saying, that the ego is not something separate from you. It is, if there is such a thing as an ego, it is what you believe you are, and this identification with an egoic thought system has made you into what you are in your entirety. And so we're not sort of separating ourselves from something that is somewhere separate from us that we can observe or whatever. No, the ego is the idea that there is something in conflict with ourselves, which is in truth not possible, and this makes the ego an illusionary state of mind, you could say, but it is everything that it dissolves really in looking at what it is, rather than talking about what the ego what it is, and then assigning qualities to it that are not real. I don't know how clear this is, but and it doesn't matter if it is I'm not trying to resolve anything or answer anything here. Let's start reading. What is the ego? The ego is idolatry. And so this is already the beginning of this is already an incredible statement. It is idolatry. The text is full of explanations and words that point you to what actually idolatry is, what an idol is, and I'll point you to that. It is a sign, it is a demonstration, it's the manifestation. It is you as a manifestation of limited and separated self. You are that when you are that, when you are associated with that idea of an egoic self-identity, you are a sign of limited and separated self, born in a body. It includes your body, doomed to suffer and to end its life in death. It is the will, the so-called will. It is a will, it is an expression of what you want, that sees the will of God as enemy and takes a form in which it is denied. The ego is the proof that strength is weak and love is fearful, life is really death, and what opposes God alone is true. And this is exactly the definition, you could say, of what a human being is. It is not separate from the human being. It is not, oh, we as human beings have an ego. No, you are, in that sense, the ego. The ego is insane. In fear, it stands beyond the everywhere. And look at yourself as you appear here in this, what you think the world, that this is exactly what you come across. The ego is insane. In fear, it stands beyond the everywhere, apart from all, in separation from the infinite. In its insanity, and this is obviously not possible, in its insanity, it thinks it has become a victor over God himself. And in its terrible autonomy, it sees the will of God has been destroyed. This is what you're seeing through the body's eyes is. That is what you're seeing is. It is not true seeing. It's where the Course in Miracles is assisting you and directing you to a new way of seeing. It dreams of punishment. I'm going to put the microphone a little bit closer to my mouth. It dreams of punishment and trembles at the at the figures in its dreams. Its enemies who seek to murder it before it can ensure its safety by attacking them. And this is these last two paragraphs are an incredible description of what you think you are. The Son of God, who you truly are, is egoless. What can he know of madness and the death of God when he abides in him? What can he know of sorrow and of suffering when he lives in eternal joy? What can he know of fear and of punishment, of sin and guilt, of hatred and attack, when all there is surrounding him is everlasting peace, forever conflict-free and undisturbed in deepest silence and tranquility. And here is the truth. To know reality is not to see the ego and its thoughts, its works, its acts, its laws, and its beliefs, its dreams, its hopes, its plan for its plans for its salvation, and the cost belief in it entails. In suffering, this is great, in suffering, in the suffering that you experience and that you see all around you, in the world that you perceive, the price for faith in it, in the ego, is so immense that crucifixion of the Son of God is offered daily at its darkened shrine, and blood must flow before the altar where its sickly followers prepare to die. And this is just you. I'm just saying this. This is just you in your own mind. This is where you become completely responsible for everything you see. You are witnessing to the suffering because of your identification with what you're not. And here is the solution. Yet will one lily of forgiveness, one lily of forgiveness, change the darkness into light. It changes the place from where you're seeing. It is that forgiveness of yourself for what could never be real. Yet will one lily of forgiveness change the darkness into light. The altar to illusions, to the shrine of life itself. And peace will be restored forever to the holy minds which God created as his Son, his dwelling place, his joy, his love, completely his, completely one with him. Forgiveness does.
It is still. And quietly does nothing. It offends no aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist it to appearances it likes. It merely looks and waits and judges not. He who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. But he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do. Through him who is your guide, your savior and protector, strong in hope and certain of your ultimate success. He has forgiven you already, for such is his function given him by God. Now must you share his function and forgive whom he has saved, whose sinlessness he sees, and whom he honors as the Son of God. And so here you can see how forgiveness is a complete internal process and how it becomes the, albeit illusionary, solution to a completely illusionary problem. There is really no solution to the problem that you have. Forgiveness is the answer because it is an illusion that is answer to the rest. It is truly amazing if you really look at it, that forgiveness is really not something that you do. You could say it is an act of mind, an action of mind, and yet it is really a stepping back to allow for that which is always true to be true as it always was. And it is a very humbling procedure in a particular way. This is how, and a very humbling, humbling experience in a way, where you you recognize that forgiveness really is an escape from the prison that you have built for yourself, a true alternative to what was never real. It's not a remedy for a way of life in the world that will allow you to continue. No, that's never it. Because lesson 333 says, forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here. It ends the dream. It doesn't turn it into a better dream. It shows you what reality is. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here. Conflict must be resolved. And this sentence begins to make sense when you begin to recognize more and more that the conflict is actually only exists within your own mind, that if there is any peace possible, it would have to be you as you truly are, and that the conflict that you experience is really within your own mind, and covering it up in any way or whatever is keeps the conflict going, and what will never give you the peace that you're looking for. So conflict must be resolved. It cannot be evaded, set aside, denied, disguised, seen somewhere else, called by another name, or hidden by deceit of any kind. Because this is what, of course, make conflict into something, albeit an illusion, or just because it is an illusion, in all the forms in which it becomes real to you,
that is, in a particular sense, the illusionary nature of it. It looks real to you where you something is real to you that is in fact not real at all, but only by looking at it is, as we're going to read in this lesson, are its defenses, which are the illusionary nature of it, lifted. It must be seen exactly as it is, where it is thought to be, in the reality which has been given it, and with the purpose that the mind accorded it, for only then are its defenses lifted. So you have to straight look at the conflict, whatever form it takes, and see all these things exactly as it is, where it is thought to be, in the reality which has been given it, and with the purpose that the mind has given it, has accorded it. For only then are its defenses lifted, and the truth can shine upon it as it disappears. So in that looking, the truth is given an opportunity to shine it away, to see it for what it really is. A dream of conflict. It is a dream. It's never real. Wow. Father, forgiveness is the light you chose to shine away all conflict and all doubt, and light the way for our return to you. No light but this can end our evil dream. No light but this can save the world. And for this alone will never fail in anything, being your gift to your beloved Son. I'll read that again. Father, forgive us. Forgiveness is the light you chose to shine away all conflict and all doubt, and light the way for our return to you. No light but this can end our evil dream, the light of forgiveness. No light but this can save the world. For this alone will never fail in anything, being your gift to your beloved Son, the forgiveness of yourself, the forgiveness in your own mind, the forgiveness of what never was, the forgiveness of the illusion that conflict is your will. In lesson 331 we read, forgiveness shows us that God's will is one. God's will is one. God's will is ours. It is one with Him. That's why conflict, there is no conflict, for my will is yours. That is an act of forgiveness of yourself. That the conflict that you are aware of, where you are experiencing it, how you are experiencing it, is actually only your idea that there is another will than God's. That God's will is not one, is not yours. It is a form of surrender, you could say. Wow. All right, we're going to take a small break and gives you an opportunity to contemplate this lesson. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here, and how it is associated with the idea of what is the ego.
it is sort of important to be with this idea. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here, and recognize that the conflict is actually your own idea about yourself. And in that, the dream disappears. It's not an effort to make the dream a better thing. The dream ends right there. Okay, here is... here's the angel song. Or no, we'll have this song. Come Take My Hand. It's a great song, Mitch. Thank you.
Tired and weary.
going to read from, as I said, from chapter 11, The Dynamics of the Ego. The word dynamics is between brackets because he's going to say something about the word dynamics as it is used here, as if there really were something as a dynamic. No one, we'll just see how far we get with this. No one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them. For not looking is the way they are protected. This is our lesson for today. This conflict must be resolved. There is no need to shrink from illusions, for they cannot be dangerous. We are ready to look more closely at the ego's thought system because together we have the lamp that will dispel it. And since you realize you do not want it, you must be ready. It's a cool thing to say that Jesus says, because together we have the lamp. It is really in that joining of the mind that the light is available and shines the illusion away. So looking with Jesus means that is that form of joining. Let us be very calm. Excuse me. Let us be very calm in doing this, for we are merely looking honestly for truth. The dynamics, the so-called dynamics of the ego. Sorry, I have to just take a break for 1 second. Here. Let us be very calm in doing this, for we are merely looking honestly for truth. The dynamics of the ego will be our lesson for a while, for we must look first at this to see beyond it, since you have made it real. We will undo this error quietly together and then look beyond it to truth. What is healing but the removal of all that stands in the way of knowledge? And how else can one dispel illusions except by looking at them directly, without protecting them? Be not afraid, therefore, for what you will be looking at is the source of fear, and you are beginning to learn that fear is not real. You are also learning that its effects can be dispelled merely by denying their reality. The next step is obviously to recognize that what has no effects does not exist. Wow. So he says here, you're beginning to learn that the fear is not real, and you're also learning that its effects can be dispelled merely by denying their reality. And the next step then is obviously to recognize that what has no effects does not exist. So this is interesting that there is a step that takes you from denying the reality of the effects of fear to the recognition that what has no effects does not exist. Laws do not operate in a vacuum, and what leads to nothing has not happened. If reality is recognized by its extension, what leads to nothing could not be real. Do not be afraid, then, to look upon fear, for it cannot be seen. Wow, this is amazing. I'll read this whole thing again because this is we're really beginning to look at this.
What is healing but the removal of all that stands in the way of knowledge? And how else can one dispel illusions except by looking at them directly without protecting them? Be not afraid, therefore, for what you will be looking at is the source of fear, and you are beginning to learn that fear is not real. You are also learning that its effects can be dispelled merely by denying their reality. The next step is obviously to recognize that what has no effects does not exist. Laws do not operate in a vacuum, and what leads to nothing has not happened. Wow. This is something you can ponder for a moment, the idea that laws do not operate in a vacuum. That really nothing is operating. And what leads to nothing has not happened. It's a really cool thing. What leads to nothing has not happened. If reality is recognized by its extension, what leads to nothing could not be real. Do not be afraid then to look upon fear, for it cannot be seen. Clarity undoes confusion by definition, and to look upon darkness through light must dispel it. That's all that is occurring within your own mind. That's the process that is occurring within your own mind, undoing what never was. That is what forgiveness is. Let us begin this lesson in ego dynamics, so-called ego dynamics, by understanding that the term itself does not mean anything. It contains the very contradiction in terms that makes it meaningless. Dynamics implies the power to do something, and the whole separation fallacy lies in the belief that the ego has the power to do anything. The ego is fearful to you because you believe this. Yet the truth is very simple. All power is of God. What is not of Him has no power to do anything. I love the idea of the complete simplicity of the teaching, that finally you just turn to God, however your idea is of Him, but that all power is of God and that there is really nothing else. The forgiveness of yourself, of your own false beliefs, will make that available to you. What is not of Him has no power to do anything. So we're not undoing something that was done. When we look at the ego, then, we are not considering dynamics, but delusions. You can surely regard a delusional system without fear, for it cannot have any effects if its source is not real. Fear becomes more obviously inappropriate if you recognize the ego's goal, which is so clearly senseless that any effort on its behalf is necessarily expended on nothing. And this is good to see, because this is what we read in What is the Ego, is that you have to look, and I think even in the lesson. So what is it for? What is the goal? Let me see how he says it in what is the ego. He says it here. You're asked to look and the purpose, and with the purpose that the mind accorded to it. It must be a particular purpose that the conflict has. The ego it has a particular purpose. And okay, so let's see what he says about here. Fear becomes more obviously inappropriate if you recognize the ego's goal, which is so clearly senseless that any effort on its behalf is necessarily expended on nothing. The ego's goal is quite explicitly ego autonomy. From the beginning, then, its purpose is to be separate, sufficient unto itself, and independent of any power except its own. This is why it is the symbol of separation. As we read in What is the Ego? It is a sign of separation. It's idolatry. It is seeing your brother as he is not. It is seeing yourself as you are not. It's a sign. I love it. A sign of limited and separated self. Born in a body, doomed to suffer and to end its life in death. That is what the ego is. It's you as you are, defined yourself. It is the symbol of separation. Every idea has a purpose, and its purpose is always the natural outcome of what it is. Wow. Every idea has a purpose. And so here we come to the fundamental idea that everything is an idea, and that every idea has a purpose. It is not sort of it is not neutral in that sense. It has a purpose, and its purpose is always the natural outcome of what it is, what the idea is. Everything that stems from the ego is the natural outcome of its central belief. And the way to undo its results is merely to recognize that their source is not natural, being out of accord with your true nature. I said before that to will contrary to God is wishful thinking. This is conflict. Is wishful thinking and not real willing. His will is one because the extension of his will cannot be unlike itself. Wow. And so his will is one because the extension of his will cannot be unlike itself. So the idea of an other will opposing God's is clearly impossible and doesn't make any sense. The real conflict you experience then is between the ego's idle wishes and the will of God, which you share. Can this be a real conflict? So this is a way of, you can use this text as a practice to look at what is actually at the conflict, at any conflict. You can use this. Conflict, forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here. That's the lesson of the day, is looking at this, resolving the conflict through your forgiveness of your mistaken idea that the conflict was real, could be real in any regard. Yours is the independence of creation, not of autonomy. Wow. Yours is the independence of creation, not of autonomy. Your whole creative function lies in your complete dependence on God. I love that. Whose function he shares with you by his willingness to share it, he became as dependent on you as you are on him. Do not ascribe the ego's arrogance to him who wills not to be independent of you. He has included you in his autonomy. Can you believe that autonomy is meaningful apart from him? The belief in ego autonomy is costing you the knowledge of your dependence on God, in which your freedom lies. Your freedom lies in your dependence on God. As you are defined as an ego identity, you think that you're going to not be free if you depend on God, that you're going to be imprisoned by the will of God. No, the will of God is going to free you, because your freedom lies in your dependence on God. The ego sees all dependency as threatening and has twisted even your longing for God into a means of establishing itself. But do not be deceived by its interpretation of your conflict. The ego always attacks on behalf of separation. Believing it has the power to do this, it does nothing else, because its goal of autonomy is nothing else. Wow, I'll read it again. The ego always attacks on behalf of separation, to keep the separation going, to justify the separation. Believing it has the power to do this, it does nothing else, because its goal of autonomy is nothing else. It is to attack on behalf of separation. The ego is totally confused about reality, but it does not lose sight of its goal. It is much more vigilant than you are, because it is perfectly certain of its purpose. You are confused because you do not recognize yours. You must recognize that the last thing the ego wishes you to realize is that you are afraid of it. You must recognize that the last thing the ego wishes you to realize is that you are afraid of it. For if the ego could give rise to fear, it would diminish your independence and weaken your power. Yet its one claim to your allegiance is that it can give power to you. Without this belief, you would not listen to it at all. How then can its existence continue if you realize that by accepting it, you are belittling yourself and depriving yourself of power? Wow, we're going to stop right here. I'm going to read that last paragraph one more time. You must recognize that the last thing the ego wishes you to realize is that you are afraid of it. For if the ego could give rise to fear, it would diminish your independence and weaken your power. Yet its one claim to your allegiance is that it can give power to you. Without this belief, you would not listen to it at all. How then can its existence continue if you realize that by accepting it, you are belittling yourself and depriving yourself of power? Wow, what an amazing sentence. I'm going to stop right here and thank you for joining us today with the lesson of the day, which was conflict. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here, lesson 333. I wish you all happy practicing today with this lesson and with the undoing of the dynamics of the ego. If you want to read the whole section, go to chapter 11. I love you all. I want to thank you again, and we hope to see you again at this channel.
You have been listening to Voice from Heaven, live in the Miracles Healing Center. Remember that God's voice speaks to you all through the day, that God goes with you wherever you go, and that God is the mind with which you think. God bless us, everyone.